Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We are joined on the programme now by Sean Defoe, Bauer Media political correspondent and host of the Let Me Explain podcast. And he joins us from the United States of America. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Greg.
I suppose reflecting on yesterday and Micheál Martin's meeting with J.D. Vance and indeed Donald Trump, we've seen what can happen in the Oval Office. I don't think Micheál Martin came out without any bruising whatsoever, but the general perception back home seems to be that it went as well as possibly it could. What was the sense there?
Yeah, I think so. Like when I first came out of the meeting, firstly, your head is fried because it was 50 minutes long of a press conference. And you know, for any press conference, that's always a bit intense. But for one in the middle of the Oval Office with one of the most powerful people in the world, it was a bit of a mind melt. But coming out of it, I kind of thought it went well and badly at the same time, in that he got across the points that he wanted to get across. He didn't get stuck into any Zelensky-like mud and able to come out of it relatively unscathed, but like you say, not entirely unbruised. And yet at the same time, Ireland got a bit of a pummeling, and so did the European Union, particularly when it came to tariffs. And it became very clear that Donald Trump is going to go after our economy. He's going to go after tariffs and going to try and reshore elements of pharma. And then there was elements where the Taoiseach decided obviously not to make it a priority or not to go after it when it came to the likes of Gaza, for example, when it came to defending the European Union. So it wasn't the perfect outing, but Ireland didn't lose out, I don't think, yesterday. I think he represented the country well.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, what Donald Trump says, a lot of it is language, isn't it? I mean, we saw recently with the threat of Canadian tariffs, which were very quickly rolled back. And you know, he's probably best judged on his actions sometimes than his words, because also he said, didn't he, that he didn't want to do any harm to Ireland, and he spoke up Ireland very much so as well.
He did. Like, it was a weird, I don't know, backhanded compliment or sort of smiling assassin approach that he had, where he said, you know, Ireland is ripping off the US, the EU is ripping off the US, they're sort of out to get us. But I don't blame Ireland for that, because you're just making a good deal, and you've made a good deal over previous years with weak presidents, and seem to be blaming it more on his predecessors than actually anything that Ireland was doing at the moment. At the same time, acknowledging that in his view, those days are over and it's a different man in the White House now and the deals are going to be different. So you do probably have to judge him on his actions. A week ago and 2 weeks ago, we were all criticising for his handling of Vladimir Zelensky in Ukraine. Now it seems as though he's actually got them back around the table, gotten a deal done, and put Vladimir Putin on the back foot, in that he now has a ceasefire deal that is acceptable to both the US and Ukraine, and he has to deal with it. So he is a very mercurial man. You can't necessarily take him on his word. And yet at the same time, I came out of certainly all of those meetings, not just the Oval, but in Congress, in the Vice President's residence and elsewhere, and at the Shamrock ceremony, thinking, here is a man who likes Ireland, might not stop him slapping tariffs on us, but it is a positive thing for us. And here is a man who potentially is open to doing a deal with the Taoiseach, but because we're tied into the EU, that just gets more complicated.
There's a bit of criticism back here for Micheál Martin, from our listeners anyway, in that, you know, some of his demeanour as Donald Trump, say, framed the housing crisis at the moment, some criticism that Micheál Martin went along with it to some extent. It's a two-parter, but also to some criticism that, you know, we've taken quite a strong position on Gaza, for an example, compared to some other countries as well, that there was an opportunity, A, to maybe express views on Gaza, but also, B, maybe interject and correct Donald Trump's assumption of what's led to the housing crisis, for an example. Do you believe that was a decision that Micheál Martin chose not to get involved in that regard, or to change his demeanour when certain things were raised? Because the world's and the country's eyes were on him, of course.
Yeah, it was definitely up to a point. I think he went in saying the most important thing is Ireland's economy. That's the thing I'm going to push back on. And he did push back on that and talked about Ryanair and AerCap and buying the Boeing planes, and that it's not all as simple as the trade deficit figures, and decided he clearly had decided, in my opinion, he wasn't going to make a big deal out of Gaza. He did mention it. He talked more in terms of Israel, though, and that maybe Ireland not being as anti-Israel as Benjamin Netanyahu might have told Donald Trump in the past, didn't really raise Palestine to any great degree or force. He did come across quite meek at times for me, that both on Gaza, in the housing thing as well, and when it got into several issues, he was sort of sitting back, letting Trump do his own thing and have his way on it. There were quite a lot of times, I don't know, did it come across on the TV cameras, where Micheál Martin was trying to butt in, but didn't do it forcefully enough and couldn't get in either over Trump or over the American and Irish media who were shouting instead. So there were times that he just tried to insert himself, but that's not where he's most comfortable. And you saw it in the Shamrock ceremony when he is delivering a prepared speech and he knows exactly what he's going to say. That's where he's at his most comfortable. And he just wasn't as good in the, let's be fair about it, TV show that was the Oval Office yesterday and how Donald Trump does his business.
And I mean, we could look at the short, medium, long term. I think J.D. Vance was far more favourable towards Ireland, and he is, unlike Kamala Harris, it looks like he very much likely will be the next president if all goes to plan. So really, in terms of looking beyond Donald Trump's term and what might come, you know, there is the foundations being set there for retaining that positive relationship, I think, between Ireland and the United States, because this rhetoric or even actions, it will eventually die down, because it's, the American public eventually will get sick of the word tariffs.
Yeah, well, they'll get sick of prices going up. And it's actually been the big issue in the American media this week has been potential recession, Donald Trump not ruling that out. There's a potential federal shutdown as well here, a bill that they're trying to get through Congress that would mean job losses across the public service in the US that's proving very controversial as well. The price of eggs, which was obviously a big election issue and is still, even this morning on Fox as I was watching it, some of the is a big thing here. So if a trade war starts and those prices don't go down as Donald Trump has promised they would, that's going to be more of an issue for him domestically and a bit of a problem. I suppose when it comes to J.D. Vance, really positive. I mean, we went in not really knowing because he was the instigator with Zelensky. Is this going to go well? Could he bring up something like the Burks, which didn't? Could he bring up something like freedom of speech? How are the plans for the hate speech laws that have now been dropped? Something like that. It was all positive.
And I won't keep you. And I imagine too beforehand they say, right, well, we won't bring that up if you don't bring that up. I mean, there's bound to be a little bit of chess play beforehand. One final thing. It is a strange situation as a media consumer here that, I mean, obviously I'm an ex, and you get those that are anti-Donald Trump, and they'll twist everything to be anti-Donald Trump, okay? But what I don't get any exposure to at all is regular American people, the 50% of the population that didn't vote for Donald Trump. It's almost like a dictatorship, and not in Trump's behaviour. But you hear those that are very organised and against him, but it's so partisan you almost ignore it. Are you getting any sense over there of what people, normal people, think? Are they being swayed towards Trump? Are they very much anti-Trump?
There's a lot of people I've been speaking to, and you know, again, like that, I'm very conscious that the media that you consume as well is very one way or the other, as well as the social media. So talking to the Uber drivers, the taxi drivers, the people in the shops that have met kind of over the last week, a lot of them, they don't agree with Trump. But they're a little bit more indifferent. Like a lot of the, particularly the people in driving Ubers around here, have sort of said, it doesn't really matter whether it's a Democrat or whether it's Trump. I'm just going to go out and do my job and I'm going to try and afford everything. And hopefully he'll make the prices come down a little bit for me. I don't agree with what he says. He's a bit mad. But then again, he just says these things to get a reaction and provoke a bit of a war with the EU. They don't care if the EU suffers. They're kind of like, oh, yeah, well, look, if it makes my life a bit better in the long run, that's absolutely fine. And it doesn't make a huge difference to them. And interestingly, I was speaking to quite a few Irish people in industry here, and a lot of Irish people in Texas when we were there who are involved in the energy industry was asking, as does this push away from green from Donald Trump make a difference to you? And they all said, no, these companies, pharma companies, the energy companies, they plan in 10, 15, 20 year horizons. So they're not going to upend their entire plan based on 4 years of Trump. That might be J.D. Vance and the same thing for 8 years, and it might not. It might be a Democrat coming out of nowhere to sort of win the next election. So yes, it's he consumes everything, he draws everything into his bubble, but life is going on. You know, like people are crying on the street here, wailing at Donald Trump. They're going about their business, they're going to their jobs and just sort of getting on with it.
Are the Uber drivers mentioning they might be out of jobs with robo-taxis? What they view Elon Musk's role in the US administration? Because again, it's very hard for me to determine that because it's always framed a certain way by vested interests, if you know what I mean. How do they see him? You've known yourself, Sean, this whole idea of Doge is really quite popular because we hear about, you know, the walls, the huts, the scanners, you know what I mean? Waste upon waste upon waste. So the whole Doge notion is actually really kind of attractive, right? But again, what is it actually delivering? Is there an apathy to that as well?
There's I have two branches of opinions. One who's like, well, he's the real president, isn't he? And, you know, this is all kind of a bit funny. And sure, hey, if he cuts it and it doesn't affect me, that's fine. He'll save a bit of money. And the other side, where there are genuine and quite worrying cuts to the federal government, that is affecting a lot of people's jobs and livelihoods and uncertainty. And as I mentioned, that bill is going through potentially to have a federal shutdown. So there is a real broad range of opinion, a lot more negative opinion, I think, towards Elon Musk than there is Donald Trump. But they also see that he's somebody who could be dumped out, you know, and that he's sort of this billionaire superstar. It's a weird and not always welcoming atmosphere to him, but in some areas indifferent if it doesn't affect them. I find Americans are very focused on their own life. And if they're not a federal worker, then that's going to affect them. Interestingly, you mentioned, I did get a robo-taxi for the first time the other day that came up when I ordered the Uber. It's like, do you want to upgrade to this free driverless
thing? I'll have a go with
that. One of the most freaky things I've ever done, sitting in the front seat and the wheel is turning. But interestingly, it acts almost like a taxi driver in that we were coming up to a yellow light and it genuinely thought about breaking it.
Just one other comment, really, more about Elon Musk. With shows like Saturday Night Live that do have an influence, I think, in certain ways, and, you know, someone like Donald Trump is immune from that, I think. This is just my opinion. But Mike Myers' portrayal of Elon Musk, he's removed far enough that it starts making him look a bit jerky and a bit strange and a bit crazy. And things like that, the Tesla stock dropping and other things, I do feel that maybe his star is starting to fall a little bit, because I do believe he's more vulnerable to sort of jeering and hand-taking and that kind of stuff.
I always thought that the two of them were on course for a clash, because Donald Trump is the alpha male and can't stand anyone else being the alpha male, and that, you know, eventually this idea of him being the real president would get to him, which made it all the more remarkable that he had Teslas on the front lawn and spent some of his own money to buy one this week in an extraordinary bit of market bias, but also a show of support towards Elon Musk. So for now, he seems to be in it for the long term. And that's the really interesting bit for me about the Trump administration this time. He's not firing a bunch of people. He's surrounded himself with cronies who are sticking with him, who he seems to actually like, and who are getting an awful lot more done than they did last time. And you can take that however you want, as a worrying thing or as an American that actually stuff is getting done here that may help them in the long run. But they're already, the public here, particularly through Fox and that, they're being conditioned that there will now be short-term pain. It's how much they will accept that to have a long-term gain.
I just don't think I could consume such partisan media, to be honest with you. I really couldn't. And it doesn't surprise me that the likes of X and other platforms are so strong. I don't want to sit and be told what I think and agree with it and all the time. It would do my planting. All right, Sean. Well, listen, enjoy the rest of your time. Thanks very much. What time is it there?
What time is it? It's 7:15 in the morning.
You're so all right. So you'd be up anyway. No bother. I don't feel as bad.
Yeah, we're fine. It was the 10 calls before you that got me up early, well, so you're fine.
That's a you problem, Sean. I'm only joking. Listen, thanks for your time, all right? Take care of yourself, Sean. Cheers. All right, that's Sean Defoe there, who's the Barra Media political correspondent and host of the Let Me Explain podcast, speaking to us from the United States of America. Okay, right. Let's see what's coming up over this weekend. We invited people to give us a buzz so we could let others know what's going on. Pork Bells at the Donegal Youth Service. Hi, Pork.
Hi, how's it going, Greg?
I'm doing good. And a great day planned at the Donegal Youth Service for St. Patrick's Day. Talk to me about what's going on and who's it for.
Yes, so the organisation, we're holding our annual St. Patrick's Day event on Monday from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And it's for all the family. Everybody's invited.
And this is about, if my memory serves me correctly, something for families to do, young people to do, that's not around alcohol, it's not around drugs. Not that every young person is into that, don't get me wrong. But sometimes it can feel that there aren't any alternatives. So this is a way for families to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with lots of activities and stuff. What's going on?
It is. So we've got a full day of activities planned. As I say, we're open from 12 o'clock and we will have live music from some new up-and-coming artists who are using the centre. And we will have some arts and crafts, hair braiding, nail art, face painting, and this year we've seen the inclusion of our pop-up shop, which is the 50 Threads, which is part of our positive action, positive environmental action project.
All right, and I like the tasty food options. You didn't mention that. I hope that hasn't been cancelled, because that would be what would get my ass in there. It's from 12 to 4, and I think, too, it's in Letterkenny, isn't it, in the centre? And maybe, you know, lots of people travel into Letterkenny, and maybe mum and dad can do what they want to do, and their teenagers can head in. That's fine, too, isn't it? Listen to some music and have a bit of crack with like-minded people of the same age.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping, Greg. We're hoping that young people will come in and use the service, as you said. They offer them an alternative to St. Patrick's Day, which we know has a connotation with alcohol. So it's to give them a fun alternative. And who knows, they might see the next up-and-coming musical artist from Ireland on the day as well.
No doubt, because the talent is absolutely amazing, and it's a great space for them to be able to harness that talent. So that is March 17th, Monday, between 12 and 4 p.m. It's on the Port Road. It's the Donegal Youth Services. It's a fun, an alcohol-free environment for the whole family. But of course, the address is 16 to 18 Port Road. And I thought that that's who was this was guided at the beginning, Porg. My mistake, it's for everyone. All right, cheers, yes. Buddy. Good luck on Monday.
No problem at all, Greg. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Magella McFadden's the Community Links Manager with Creaslaw Community Association. Good morning, Magella.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Your celebrations are on the Monday, kicking off at noon. What's happening in beautiful Creaslaw on Monday?
Well, all going well weather-wise, Greg. Yeah, we're kicking off at 12 o'clock. And so anyone that is participating are invited to meet up behind the chapel from 11:15 onwards.
Can I just change that? You've been very polite there, Magella, but what I want to say on your behalf is, if you're taking part, right, be there at 11:15, because Magella wants to start this at 12 noon sharp. Is that it?
I know. Well, I hope nobody's timekeeping. If anybody's timekeeping is like my own, Greg, then we're in trouble. Okay. But, so listen, if you can get there at 11, that would be even better. And the theme this year is about the legends of Creaslaw, past and present. And I've already had a hint from a few different floats, and they're taking it very serious. And one of those, I won't give too much away, Greg, but one of those, the Creaslaw Walking Group, we have a few relatives of Brady Gallagher in there, so that's going to be a really special.
I mean, you're spoilt with legends, Magella, but Brady's the queen, isn't she? That's fantastic. Okay. And so there's going to be a parade, lots of people entering, heroes of yesteryear, today, local community members, and there's going to be first, second and third for the best floats. Are you judging, Magella?
I won't be judging now. We have a couple of great committee members judging. I better not give their names away, though.
Don't want them being bribed before Monday.
That's exactly right. You just don't know what would happen. And but they're very good. And we'll have Dennis and Eamon. They do a Facebook Live feed.
Brilliant.
So for all of our community members that are away, and we've quite a few away, they will be able to tune in. And we done it last year, and it got great feedback. So we'll do that again. Our roving reporters will be up and about from 11 o'clock onwards.
I love that. And do you know what, Magella, that's lovely for people who it's not as easy for them to get out of the house locally as either, to be able to feel a part of it. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, no, it is. And as I say, the feedback on it last year was great. So, and it's a bit of fun as well. And everyone gets to see it from the house, or from Australia, or from wherever you might be. And another important wee thing that we have happening this year, and it might be a first for the parade. Well, it is a first for our parade. We have a sensory room in the hub in Creaslaw.
Wow.
For kids that may not be able to cope with the noise and the hustle and bustle of the parade, but they can see it from the room in the hub in Creaslaw. So we have a quiet room, and if anyone wants to bring their kids along, they can come. They just give us a wee call at the hub, and we'll book them in, and they can watch the parade from a quiet space.
Well done. That's lovely. That's really inclusive. I love that. So there's the best float. There's the greenest sustainable float award. The best decorated house shop front. So get. I'm sure the work has already started, but don't forget to do as much as you can. And it's all the theme being local legends, past and present. And of course, as Magella mentioned, that very inclusive sensory room at the hub. And also that Facebook stream as well with the lads, if you can't get to it. Well done, Magella. The weather's going to be grand. Don't you worry about that. Just you enjoy it.
I do have one more wee thing that I did forget to mention and I thought it was really important too.
Go ahead, Magella.
I won't keep you long. And it is the band is reforming. Now, we've got 17 young children lined up.
Oh,
now,
wow.
We've only just got together. And we've asked some of the older band members from a few years ago to support us. So we've got the drummers coming out. We've got the old school drums that were up in the attic. And it is a wee bit sort of poignant because Master Kevin Ward, who just passed away last week, would have been the founder of that band. So, you know, it will be, he'll be on our minds next Monday, but it will be another special addition to the band this
he'll
year.
He'll be smiling down, incredibly proud, don't you know? Thank
indeed
you, Magella. A lovely way to mark
Thank
a great
you,
man.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You so much. Magella McFadden there, Community Links Manager with Creaslock Community. James Devenny is at the CDP Letterkenny and he's with us now. What's coming up, James?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning, James.
On St. Patrick's Day, we have, well, first of all, we have our float and the parade for people to watch out for, where we're doing Letterkenny's CDP, does Stars in Disguise. I'll not say too much out for it, but just watch out for the float and Letterkenny. But down in the Courtyard Shopping Centre, Greg, we're having a massive pre-parade party, and it begins at 1 o'clock, and it goes on until 3 o'clock before the parade starts. It's to give people a party atmosphere and a non-alcohol surrounding, where we have face painting for the kids and adults, if you want to get your face painted as well. We have traditional Irish music, we also have a room set up where we have Irish stew, and there's traditional Irish music going on in there. We have three groups of Irish dancers coming in on the day. We have an arts and crafts table for the kids as well. Outside in the foyer of the Courtyard Shopping Centre, we're going to have games, wooden games for the children and for the adults as well, where there's balancing boards, there's giant Jenga, there's all those games, but they're in a bigger format for the kids as well, out where they do the face painting as well.
Brilliant.
We also have a table set up as well, especially for the children, where we've got shamrock shaped cookies, and there's a competition for the children and decorating those as well. And as I say, it all starts off at 1 o'clock, goes right up until 3 o'clock before the parade starts, just to give, you know, people a wee something to do before the parade starts, rather than just come into the town, watch the parade and straight back out again.
And it's at the Letterkenny CDP, which is Unit 25 Courtyard Shopping Centre. Again, an opportunity to have fun, and it's in an alcohol-free environment as well. And as you say, it's a kickoff party, isn't it? It starts at 1, finished
party,
at 3, for the parade, bish, bash, bosh, Irish stew in the tank. Everything sounds fantastic.
Something there for all the family. It doesn't matter what age you are, there's something there for everybody.
Well done, James and the crew. Thank you so very much for that. Let's go to the award-winning Mulville St. Patrick's Festival. Award-winning, no less. Good morning to you, Mr. Eamon McLaughlin. How are you getting on?
I'm fine, Greg, and yourself?
I am doing really good, actually. Things are good at the moment. Okay, so it's not just about one day in Mulville. There's a whole weekend of activities to mark this wonderful national day of ours.
Absolutely, Greg, yeah. Our parade has been running since 1990, and each year we try to add something different to it when we can. So this year we're really having a full weekend event, as you say. And we start off at 7:30 tomorrow evening in the corner bar with anybody interested in upskilling their Irish language. That's the place to go. There's a wee conversation group meets there for about an hour. And you don't have to be proficient. You'll learn a few things and that sort of thing. And then later on, at 9 o'clock in the hall, we have a big bingo session with a top prize of €300. And at 10 o'clock in Rosado's Bar, we have an Irish-themed quiz, table quiz.
Brilliant.
Then on Sunday, we have a 5-kilometre fun run from the Big Tree, starting at 11 o'clock. And you can just register outside McGuire's Bar. And on the Sunday night, We have Irish music and dancing. Cheol agus Rinka Tradisiúnta. And the Trolloman Bar at 10 o'clock. And that's always a very, very popular night.
And is there a treasure hunt on Saturday afternoon as well?
The treasure hunt is on the Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
It's on at 4 o'clock from McGuire's Bar. It's a car treasure hunt. And we had around 20 cars on that last year, so it was very, very popular.
Brilliant. That sounds like great fun. All roads then lead to Monday. It's the big day.
Yeah,
St. Patrick's
Monday
Day
is the
parade.
Big day. Yeah, and just before the parade starts, about 2 o'clock in the square, David Craig's band will be playing. And as you know, he's a great singer and he's a fantastic band. He plays a lot of times in Mayville and with the utmost respect for him.
I think he's one of the best
entertainers in Ireland.
That's the word I was going to use. Yeah. He's a great performer, David, in fairness.
Absolutely, yeah. There's people that can sing well, but there's people that can perform well. He can both sing and perform well, and he's backed up by very competent musicians. That starts at 2, and then about 2:15, we're going to have some set dancers in the square throwing a shape or two and showing their skills. And then at 2:30, the parade begins. Now, this is a really big event for us because we are giving €1,000 to the best float and €500 to the runner-up. And we've got 6 themes. They are topical, original, traditional, artistic, humorous, and sustainable. So there'll be a specially handmade crafted award for the winner on each category, and then the overall winner will get €1,000 and the runner-up will get €500, and that will be announced at the presentation of prizes in the corner bar at 9 o'clock on Friday.
And I should mention there is no entry fee and floats are welcome from absolutely everywhere. So some parades are happening on Sunday potentially, so you can make Monday or if it's later or earlier in the day. The assembly point for motorised floats is Mayville Co-op. Bands and walking participants will assemble at the corner bar on Quay Street with a view to everything getting underway at 2:30. And as you say, on Friday the 21st of March, the presentation of prizes takes place in the corner bar from 9 p.m. Yeah. You could argue it's a week of celebrations if you wanted to. Brilliant stuff.
It is, yeah. And can I just say, Greg, as well, it's just below the Mayville Co-op for the motorised floats participants.
Understood.
And and could I say, as well, I know some parades are having their festivities on the Sunday. So if any floats there want to come down and participate in us, with us, and they have a chance to win that money, they'd be more than welcome.
Well, they've put in all the effort. Why not pitch for the €1,000 prize, the €500 runner-up prize, or indeed one of the best-in-class prizes? Why not? If you've already gone to all the effort, get it to Mayville.
Absolutely. Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
Eamon, lovely to chat to you.
We've marching bands as well.
Of course you do.
Say as well,
yeah.
Greg, that I want to acknowledge all the people that contributed to our ticket sales over the last few weeks.
Is this the Lucky Shamrock draw, is it?
And the Lucky Shamrock's going to be there on the day, and that's what keeps us going. And it's a good bit of banter and crack. Buy a Lucky Shamrock, put it in your coat, and we know you've funded us and helped us. And I also want to say as well, I want to wish good luck to all the other committees that's running since Patrick's Day Parade, especially our neighbours in Moncrana here in Inishowen, because I know the amount of time and effort and expense involved in this. So I would like to see everybody in the county and indeed nationally all celebrate this national event together.
For sure. And you know what? It looks like for the most part the weather's going to play ball, and that's the one thing organising committees can't sort out. So that's looking good at this stage. Eamon, take care of yourself. Well done to you and all.
Thank you very much.
Go on, what were you going to say?
The Child of Prague.
Here we go. It's the Child of Prague. You know what? It wouldn't be St. Patrick's Day if you didn't bring out the Child of Prague.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, thank you very much, Greg, for coverage. No, it's our pleasure. And we're going to be talking about Letterkenny in a moment too. Not too late, by the way, if you have an event at the weekend for your community, 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text, or call 07491 25,000. As part of our celebrations this week, and I suppose culminating tomorrow, we have some fantastic lots that have been donated to us by some of our best businesses across the Northwest. They've given them to us at their expense, and we're inviting you to bid on them, which means that we're raising money for Huey's Corner, Blue Stack Special Needs Foundation, and Donegal Cancer Flights and Services. And anything that you don't, anything that you bid for these prizes goes straight to those charities. The Wild Atlantic Camp. We've got a 3-night stay in the Wild Atlantic Camp. 8 people could avail of this effectively. You stay in their luxury new large chalets, sleeping up to 8. You'll be spoilt for choice of things to do in and around Creasla anytime outside July and August. That's worth a minimum of €600, and we've got a €200 bid in on that at the moment. That's the winning bid as we speak. So if you fancy that and you want to support our charities, give us a call on 07491 25000 and make your bid. We also have an opportunity for you to bid for your place in the history books, along with you and your family and friends, plus a vehicle for the first official crossing on board the brand new ferry, the Arranmore Blue. The crossing will be shared on social media. It's going to be a great day. And that's worth at least £300. It's going to be a fantastic day out. It's going to be in the next 6 weeks or so. So be part of history there and get out in the boat. It's beautiful. Bid on that. Give us a call, 07491 25000. Give us a starting bid if you like. We also have on board the Wheelhouse Pods and Glamping crew. You can stay overlooking Lackana Lake in Burton Port. It's a 2-night stay in their luxury pods that include a jacuzzi. We have a bid in at the moment for £150, I think. So you can outbid that person. It's worth a minimum of £350. Call 07491 25000 if you'd like to secure that potentially, but also support our three charities. You can also email auction@highlandradio.com. Also, a Spanish villa. This has proved very popular. It's a 1-week stay in a luxury 4-bed villa. It's a 7-night stay close to Torrevieja and Alicante Airport. It's available September, December of this year. And we've got a €1,000 bid in on that already. Might be hard to match that. It's a goodie. But €1,001 will secure that, you know. There's been a lot of activity on our lot for dinner for two at Nevin Maguire's. Plus a signed book, a hamper, and a piece of cutlery as well. So you'll be dining at the award-winning Nevin Maguire restaurant. It's in Black Lion in County Cavan, of course. You'll get that book, the hamper, and the Nevin Maguire cutlery. You know how hard it is to get in there because it's so blooming popular. We have a winning bid at the moment of €500. So that's going to be worth £1,000, I think. But at the moment, €500's winning it, and it may well go on to win it. So who's to say? A number of people already bidding on this wonderful prize, kindly donated to us by Sharon Hair and Beauty. It's a human hair wig, which means it's of the highest quality, and it's ideal for anyone who maybe is going through treatment, post-treatment, and the post-treatment regrowth. It might be nice for someone to have that. Maybe you just want a simple, natural, full-bodied look on your head. Maybe you've got alopecia. You know yourself who that's relevant to. Maybe it's for you, or maybe it's someone close to you. It's worth €2,500. That is a premium, premium product. We've a couple of bids on that. At the moment, it's £150. We haven't really pushed this to the full extent yet, so you could sneak in and get that for an absolute bargain. We also have a silver party at Century Play. It's for up to 15 children. You can have a 1-hour, 15-minute play, party food and goodie bag for 15 of the young people in your life. Or you can have the cinema experience where there's a movie of your choice from the listings available, a party tray, food at Century Play and a goodie bag. That's going to be worth £250. We already have a bid for that for £300. So it's exceeded its value, but it's still winnable, and you'd still could donate £350 and be donating €115 each to our three charities. Do you get me? Right, okay. Also a very popular lot here. It's a 2-night stay with breakfast at the 4-star Canal Court Hotel in Newry in County Down. It's right in the heart of Newry Town. It's sponsored by our friends at Radisson Blu and Letterkenny. You can stay in Newry, explore it, or you can travel into Dublin if you wanted to. £200's the bid on that at the moment. It's worth £5. So if you want to bid on that, 07491 25000, or you can email auction@highlandradio.com. Our friends at the Shandon Spa have been generous as always. They have given us a spa day for 4 people at the Shandon. It includes a 1.5-hour thermal spa experience, a 30-minute private bay view tub experience, and a glass of bubbly, an afternoon tea for 4. Get together with 3 of your mates and say, look, wouldn't that be lovely for us to go and do? I guarantee you will love it, you will enjoy it, you'll be treated like kings and queens. At the moment, £270 is the highest bid. It's generous. Thank you for that bid. But I think four of you could get together, 100 quid each maybe. I don't know, it's up to you. David James is in concert in Sligo on the 25th of May. We have tickets for that concert and an overnight stay for two people in the Sligo Park Hotel with breakfast. A nice little day out for you towards the end of May, a night out. We have a bid in that for 250 quid. If you want to get down to that, the hotel stay's got to be worth that, doesn't it? But you also get to see David and his band in concert. Give us a call, 07491 25000. Harvey's Point, we all know how beautiful a hotel that is. We've got a two-night bed and breakfast midweek stay. It includes breakfast, as I mentioned, and dinner for two people. We have a 600 bid in for that at the moment. Very generous. Thank you so very much indeed. It could well win, but maybe someone wants to call us on 07491 25000 and outbid that listener. Someone's going to get themselves maybe a cheeky, cheap Shop LK voucher, because we've got one valued at 250 quid. And that is just 250 quid. You can go into Curry's, you can go into anywhere and buy whatever you like to the value of 250 quid. At the moment, the top bid's 80. It's a cheeky wee bid. People have been going up in tenners on that. It might win. I don't know. It's worth 250 quid. What's it worth to you? You can spend it in no end of places, of course. If you want to bid on that, 07491 25000, or email your bid to auction@highlandradio.com. And let me say, the prizes are sorted. They've been donated. The last prize, sponsored by Letterkenny Chamber. So whatever you bid on that, that money is going directly to our chosen charities. We are already getting to good money, but we need more of your money to support our free, brilliant charities. And don't forget as well, time is running out. Do you want to be in 9 draws for €1,000 cash tomorrow? All you have to do is buy a ticket. It's a tenner. It's €1.10 per draw. You've got about a 3,500, potentially 3,500 to one chance of winning. If you do the lotto, which is great, don't get me wrong, to win in 1,500 quid, your odds are 45,000 to one. And how much are your tickets? We're giving you a chance, much less than that, for one tenner ticket, effectively. Go onto our website, highlandradio.com. Get your tickets now so you're in all the draws tomorrow and you can enjoy our fantastic day of entertainment. It's an open day. It's going to be fantastic. Or give us a call right now in 07491 25000. Donate €10 to our charities and you could win one of 9 prizes for €1,000. 110 an auction. 110 a ticket, effectively, per draw, with odds that are 10 times greater than you might see on the lotto, for an example. We've just had another cheeky bid on the Shop LK voucher. It's going up to 100 quid. Any more updates for me to read before I take a break and go to our next round of St. Patrick's weekend celebrations? Right, okay, stay there. I'm going to take a break. It's about 4 minutes, and we're going to come back to let you know what you could be up to this weekend across our beautiful counties of Donegal, Leitrim. I'll claim Leitrim, North Leitrim, Tyrone and Derry. Sorry for holding everyone. I'm going to go to our draw. Stephen McCahill, good morning to you, Stephen. Chair, of course, of the our draw chain traders. And your celebrations on Sunday, Stephen.
Yes, Greg, thank you very much for calling us. Yeah, we're going for over 30 years probably now at the parade, and we've been blessed with wonderful people, as always, to do it, like Margaret Boyd of Zardraland, Rhett and Magella, and Tom's McWinney. Stalwarts, the parade, have been at it for years and are again involved this year. But then after COVID, we had to get it revived again, and Cue Boyle for the last 2 years has made a massive job of it. Now, this year, a wonderful new committee have come into play, and they have fantastic new innovative ideas, and I know they have a lot more plans in the pipeline for next year. I saw them last night putting up the buntings, and there's a whole air of positivity about the place, and it's great to see it. But our draw is always like that, if you know, Greg. No. So it's on Sunday, starting at 1:30, and we'll be finished before the game. That's the important thing for people to know once the game.
It's probably, it's one of those games maybe you can just keep updates on Highland, but I get your point. 1:30, music, fun, and community spirit, which our draw always excels on. Marching bands, face painting, ice cream. The Archer Artisan Market sounds great. Entertainments, floats, and people. We love our classic cars and tractors. They're going to be there too. It all kicks in, all throws off, throws in at 1:30
in Archer. And as opposed to this year, Greg, I'd have to say to you, Greg, I'm a bit emotional myself about this, because two of the finest people that ever were involved in community life in Archer hadn't had the best of health in recent times, but fair play to them, they're coming out, and one of them's going to be the Grand Marshal, the other is the St. Patrick. So I hope that people of Ardra come out and support these two wonderful people for putting in the effort, like everybody else in Ardra, and I know it'll be a great day. Come out and support it. We've actually a judge flying in from Delaware. He's always wanted to be at our parade, and he's insisted that he comes some year, and this year suits him, and he's coming to Ardra today, and he'll be one of our main judges in the floats. We need the floats. We need people. The floats in Ardra are always funny floats. They're not commercial floats. They're generally witty, creative things of their time. And we have the schools involved this year as well. So there's a lot of good things. There's the best dressed window that there's a no hard for. But we're out again tonight putting up more bundings and getting ready. So
thanks so much,
great
Stephen.
Atmosphere, great positivity in Ardra.
As always. Thanks so much, Stephen McCahill there. Sophie Blake Gallagher is committee member of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Boncrana. And this one's on Monday, and it's the usual excellent parade and celebration, Sophie, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's it. The committee have been working hard over the past number of months to get the parade up and going, and it'll be on at 3 o'clock on Monday. We'll have the vintage cars, the floats, the town's looking great, the bunting's up, and hopefully the weather's good.
Yeah, and you've got the square as well, live music at the square.
Yeah, live music from Scoil Trad with Liz Woods in the square from 2:30. There's going to be lots of good crack anyway, and the committee have been working really, really hard, and the bunting's finally went up. The last bit went up this week, so the town's looking great.
It always looks great, but added with the bunting as well, and music, floats, all the usual crack. Music on the square as well. Roads are going to be blocked from 2:30 to facilitate the parade at 3, but it doesn't matter because all roads lead to Boncrana. People have the cars parked up. Have a wonderful day, Sophie. It is Boncrana at 3 p.m. Take care of yourself. Tony Forrester, CEO of Letterkenny Chamber. I knew she was going to pull out the bloody hat. I don't have a hat, so I've gone with a backdrop of shamrocks. That's the best I could do, Tony, but I think it's all right.
Yeah, well, maybe you do need a hat. Are you getting shaved tomorrow?
No. Those plans were shelved. Moving on, Tony. I don't think Hudson could have tucked it. Tony, I'm doing other stuff though instead. Letterkenny's the biggest town in the county, right? And lots of people from around Letterkenny go. A lot of people go to other parades and then head into Letterkenny. We've heard of some fantastic sort of support events around the town for people who want to do things a little bit differently. But entertainment kicks off at the square from 1:30 p.m. Then the parade at 3 p.m. Sell it to us if you have to, even.
Yeah, well, so I mean, it's your traditional parade. We have lots of gymnasts. We have gymnastics groups. We have school groups. We have sporting groups, and they all make lots and lots of noise. It's fabulous. At 1:30, we have Joe Gibson on the stage with Keith, obviously helping out, and then we have some Callum Keaveney up at McGettigan's Hotel. We have I've forgotten their name. No Generation, Evan Sheridan at Blake's, and Keeper Lit in the Old Town. But we also, it might be a wee surprise because we think we're getting, I think Donald coming to visit us.
Oh, Mr. Trump?
Possibly.
Okay, on his way to Doombeg, perhaps. Okay, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and he might be with some other wee famous singer from Donegal, possibly.
That's the partnership I never knew or wanted, but I do.
You have to come, Greg, and just see it for yourself.
For sure. It's on Monday, isn't it?
Monday. Our road closes from about 1:00, but there's access, obviously.
And exactly. Yeah. And people know the score. It's going to be well marshalled by the crew from the chamber, but also on Garda Síochána Connor, those with additional movement needs. I don't know how you describe that. But anyway, they'll be accommodated, of course, as always. Just follow the guidelines, get in and have an awful lot of fun. It's going to be great. Tony, well done to you. Go ahead. Anything else to say?
We're your green. And can I just do a wee thank you to all our businesses who sponsored the parade.
Yeah.
Without them, we couldn't do this.
Is your head getting smaller or is that hat getting bigger every year?
I think my head's getting smaller. It's great.
See you soon. Take care. Bye bye, Tony. Have a great day on Monday. And listen, if there's more that we didn't get to, we can do a few tomorrow as well. Certainly shout outs, if not interviews. By the way, we'll give you details of this shortly. Boyce's Travel are offering 2 tickets to a Celtic home game with bus transfers and an overnight stay after the match. That's going to be added to our auction. How exciting! Right now, just to let you know that David James and the Drive Time show will be live this afternoon from 2:30 p.m. till 5 p.m. They'll be in the Letterkenny Shopping Centre, and you're going to have an opportunity to make bids on the auction and buy tickets for the €9,000 draw. That's where we have to leave it tomorrow. Please tune in from 6:30. Lee Gooch, make sure you turn up, because he said this morning, turn up and he'll make tea or coffee. Do it. Why not? But certainly from 9, we're on air. Come in and see us. We've got loads of great conversation, loads of great music. It's the same on John's show, David's show, and Ivan's got some cracking live bands as well. We can't wait for tomorrow. Thank you so much for all your generosity so far. We bid you adieu for now. Stay tuned and stay safe, of course, because John Bredesen's up next around the Northwest.